We have Rolene Marks on the line. She's talking to us from Israel. She's, of course, as I said to you, she's on her way down to Gaza. Rolene Marks, do you really want to drive down to the border of Gaza on Friday the 13th?
Yes, you go.
Right. Okay, you're looking for trouble in all the wrong places.
I'm actually going to cover the story this morning. I'm going to produce some coverage.
That's awesome.
But I also think it's a good opportunity to see for myself the facts on the ground. You know, we're getting a lot of reports coming in, especially in the media like South Africa, which are very, very one-sided and are not reporting the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I will go down there myself and see what is happening and hopefully report back to you guys on Monday.
That'll be very, very interesting to hear. Rolene, are they expecting, I mean, I know every Friday is the day where there's a potentially quite a significant amount of conflict down there. What are they thinking is going to happen today? Have they got any sense of it yet?
Well, today apparently is day of flag burning. So while they won't be burning tires, mostly because I think they've burnt all of them and realize that it's very bad for transport if you don't have any tires. And also because the Israeli Minister of Transportation won't give them any more tyres, they are now moving on to flags. So we can expect...
Yeah, you see, I've always thought that, you know, I've always thought it's a fantastic business model to produce Israeli and American flags in the Middle East because they're a consumable, aren't they?
But apparently they are. Apparently they're flammable and apparently they're consumable.
So it's got to be a good business. It's got to
international
be...
international law to burn a flag. But, you know...
I know, but as a person...
international law.
No, but hold on. As a person selling the flags, you can't control what people do with it. So I think we'll be okay if we... I'm telling you, Rolene, it's a business thing. We should talk about this. Got to be in the flag business in the Middle East.
We should definitely take this...
take it seriously.
...and open up a flag shop.
But only American and Israeli flags, because those are the consumable ones.
Yes, we call it our flagship shop business.
I like it. I'm telling you, Rolene, we are onto something here. Anyway, listen, I think it's amazing that you're going there to see for yourself, and very obviously very, very important to be able to, you know, how close will they allow you to get to the actual border, considering that there are hostilities?
They will not allow us within about 2 kilometers of the border.
Right, so you'll...
So about 2 kilometers is about as close as we get.
Right.
And we will be in a special area marked out for the media.
Okay, fine. So very, very interesting indeed. Keeping it a little bit lighter, Rolene, you and I were talking during the week. There was this incredible clip that went viral of a husky and his owner being reunited. Tell us about the story.
I mean, if this just didn't burst the heart open, I don't know what does. But an Arab man's husky dog went missing and was found by the police wandering around in Be'er Sheva, looking a little bit emaciated and upset. And the police took the dog and then contacted the owner because of, you know, it matched the description of this lost dog. And the owner said, you know, if you sing the song, the theme music to Shemesh, which is an Israeli TV show, then if he responds, you should start singing. If he responds to that, he's my dog. So that's what they did. They played the dog the theme music from Shemesh, and the dog started howling.
It was honestly one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
It is hysterical. Or at least he was more in tune than most Israelis when we sing.
I just loved that story. I really feel like it's an only in Israel story. The fact that a person even had reported the dog, the police put it together as to who's that somebody was missing a dog, and then played, and then the guy said on the phone, you know, play him the theme song of this TV series, and if he howls, then it's my dog. It's just an absurdity.
Well, I mean, you're going a step further. They phoned the owner of the dog, played the music, the dog howled, the owner howled, and doggy and owner were happily reunited.
So
I mean,
sweet.
If that just doesn't burst your heart open.
Absolutely.
Then I don't know what does.
Absolutely. It's just the most wonderful, wonderful story. And I'm actually going to share it on Facebook again because I just think it is absolutely amazing. Tell us this about this NBA champion converting to Judaism. Why?
Well, apparently he has a true love of Israel, and coupled with his love of Israel and playing for the Hapoel Jerusalem, Amari Stoudemire has fallen deeply in love with Judaism, and he is going to convert.
That's incredible. So, I mean, that's going to introduce tall genes into the Jewish gene pool.
He's bringing the tall genes into the Jewish gene pool, Howard. I mean, we'll at least get above 5'6".
Right. I mean, all we now need is some thin ones, and we're on to something. That's an amazing story. Incredible, actually. I hope he can continue playing, because, you know, I don't know. But sometimes it doesn't always go that way. And tell us about Gal Gadot.
Oh, this is just too amazing. You know, yesterday was Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Martyrs and Memorial Day. And Gal Gadot is the granddaughter of a Holocaust survivor. And she posted a picture of her and her grandfather to Instagram, you know, saying that she was looking for a picture of him. She didn't know where she was going to find this picture of him. You know, he's obviously passed on. And out of the blue, one of her assistants managed to show her the footage. And she spoke very lovingly and very movingly of all he had endured and all he had given her and taught her. And this went on to, I think, over 2 million people that, when I saw it, had seen this picture.
Incredible.
And she spoke about the importance of remembering the Shoah and fighting against intolerance and racism in the world today. I mean, and I have to just share an observation with you, Howard. I don't know if you can hear it.
I can hear it.
There's a woman walking her two dogs and singing at the top of her voice. So, you know, this is Israel. This is Israel on a Friday morning after a very stressful week. She is singing on the top of her voice.
Oh, how wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. But going back to the Gal Gadot thing, there were reports yesterday that I was seeing across social media, and in fact, JTA reporting on it this morning, that apparently only 22% of U.S. millennials, 22% of U.S. millennials have not heard of, or are not sure if they've heard of, the Holocaust.
This is extraordinary. This is and very, very worrying indeed. A poll conducted by the AJC has proven, as you just said, that only 22% of Americans, including most millennials, have never heard of the Shoah and have never heard of Auschwitz. And, you know, every year we speak about the importance of Holocaust education and imparting what we know to the next generation. And when I see this kind of poll coupled with this incredible rise of anti-Semitism and this kind of almost acceptance into discourse of Holocaust denial, it could not be more important today than ever before that we start educating, especially the next generation, the younger generation. We said never again, and never again has to extend also to never again will we allow the fans of hatred, intolerance, propaganda to be flamed the way that they are happening now.
In fact, Tonya and I were talking about it a little bit earlier this morning. We say never again, but not that far away in Syria, Assad is absolutely slaughtering his own people, and very little is being done. Israel is practically the only country that is going in and bombing some of these facilities, but while the rest of the world debates what they should be doing about this.
It's very, very frightening, and as you said, really, the only country that is prepared to do something. We've seen the war of words between Trump and Putin this week over bombing of the gas launching site, and we've heard Trump calling Putin somebody who partners with a gas-killing animal, as only Trump could say. Mm-hmm. But yes, Israel being the only country to offer humanitarian aid to our Operation Good Neighbor, and really, really concerned that we do something to stop the gassing of innocent civilians in Syria.
rolling marks there. We do have to leave it. It is not a brilliant line, but we did manage to hear you. Please stay safe. Keep us updated as to how it goes, and we'll try and catch up with you next week and hear exactly how what your observations were.
I will keep you updated throughout the day. And Shabbat Shalom, and please, God, may be a peaceful one on our borders today.
Amen.